Hears that? He's going to get them to us, the world. Man, that was a blessing, wasn't it? I thank God for what Jesus has done for me. If you're saved here, Jesus has done something that no one else can do. He's done something you can't do for yourself. If you're born again by the grace of God, that's exactly what it is. It's the grace of God. I thank God for Jesus. Take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter number 1 tonight. Be much in prayer for the camp and all those that are there. Going to be there all week. They're going to be at Brother Billy Boone's. I talked to my wife a few minutes ago, and they made it to the camp, got unloaded, and they were headed to Brother Billy's. So everything's going pretty good so far. They didn't get out of parking lot for the van tore up, but we got her fixed, and they took it on up there. So hallelujah. Mark chapter number 1. Let's start verse number 32. I'm going to preach about something tonight that it's something that's very important, and it's something that we all need to do. If you can understand this message here tonight that I'm going to preach, I'm going to try to make it clear, but if you have the understanding to know what I'm talking about, you need to be doing it. Look at verse number, Mark 1 verse 32 is where we're going to start. The Bible says, "And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils." This him is Jesus Christ. "And all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him." So here's Jesus, and the people were bringing sick people to him because he could heal them. If you've ever been sick, you'll amen that right there. You get sick in your body, and some of these people were possessed with devils, and they were bringing them to Jesus to get help. Jesus can help. Look at verse 35. The Bible says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed." You mean God? I mean God the Son in his flesh. He was 100% God. He was 100% man. Let's don't forget that, right? He prayed. Amen. It was his practice to pray. Verse 36, "And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee." So here's Jesus. He's out in a solitary place. He's praying. Simon, the disciples, find him. They say, "Look, people are looking for you. What do you think the people want from him?" The same thing they got before. They were sick, they were hurting, they were possessed, they wanted that same kind of help. So Jesus was praying, they come get him. They said, "Look, everyone's looking, seeking for thee." Look at verse 38. "And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns." He didn't say, "Let's go back and find these folks." He said, "Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth." And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. The title of the message we're going to look at tonight is the priorities of Christ. And the subject is prioritizing things in your life. We need to make sure that our priorities are right, that they are straight, and that our priorities are good according to what God says. Let's pray. Brother Terry Brooks, you pray for us.
First and second, Father, let's come to you, Father, in prayer. In the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, just thank you, Father, for this opportunity to be back at the house of God tonight to learn about three words of life. Father, we just pray and ask, Father, lift up all the prayer requests, prayer lists, sick and afflicted. Pray, Father, for our lost loved ones, Father, that can't meet them up there this week. Father, we pray and ask you to touch on all that. Father, we just pray that your will be done. Pray, Father, that you'd help the man of God here tonight, Father. Speak to him, Father, the words that you laid on his heart. Father, I pray that you'd help us open our hearts and minds to receive it, Father. Father, we draw closer to thee, Father. Just help us, Father, to be about our Father's business. We just pray and ask all these things, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Prioritizing things in your life. That's simply putting things in order of importance in your life. Some things, according to the Bible, are just more important than other things. And we need to have these priorities in order, and not just to have another list. Anybody like lists? Some people just like lists. I go to my mom's house, and she's got 11 lists just stuck everywhere, a list of things, right? And one of them's always a list of me, my list of things to do, right? I come home, and my wife says, I got a list for you. I don't like lists. It always ends up me having to do some work. We need to prioritize things in our life, and not just to have another list, but to say we'll know how to allocate our time. The most important things in our life are going to deserve the most attention, the most time. And I can tell you, time is a precious, precious thing. There's some things in your life that you just can't help. We all have to sleep. Some people sleep more than other people. Some people don't sleep that much, but the fact is, what's a normal man going to do at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning? There's only so much you can do, so it's not great time, right? Sleep takes time. Work takes time. We have to work to earn a living. The Bible says, if any man work, neither shall he eat. Work's a thing, so that sleep time is allocated. The time that we have, it takes a block of it, and that work time takes a block of it. So what's left is precious. Time is a precious commodity. I'm not an old person, but I'm not a young person. I'm old enough to know that time can slip away from you. I can remember taking that little boy, loading him up and taking him to Little League baseball practice and trying to teach him how to play baseball. And I blink my eyes and he's grown and he's married and he's got a child of his own. I've got a grandchild. What happened? Seems just like that. Now it wasn't, but looking back, it seems like it was. Time can get away from it. I remember bringing that baby girl home, and she was a little bitty pretty thing. And I remember sitting her up when I get home from work and sit on my lap, and we watched Tom and Jerry. Say, brother, why'd you do that with her? Because I like Tom and Jerry. I can remember that. It seems like it was just yesterday. She turned 14 last week. What do you mean? I'm saying time waits for no man. You blink your eyes and time is gone. And listen to me, it's something that you'll never get back. You can precious memories, thank God for them. You'll never get it back. You're not going to get that time and tack it on the end. And then you always got somebody, example, right? Well, what about Hezekiah? He got extra years. He did. He was dying, and Isaiah told him, he said, you're going to die. And he walked out, and he turned his face to the wall and prayed to God. God gave him 15 extra years. But if you go back and read those stories, you'll read where his son Manasseh became king after him. And he was the worst king Israel ever had. And if you'll read how old he was when he died, Manasseh was born during that 15-year period. So he got some extra years, but it wasn't his best years. What are you saying? What I'm saying is we need to be careful with our time and make sure we are using our time wisely. We only have so much. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. We're not guaranteed another minute, but what we have, we need to have our priorities. We need to have our ducks in a row and be spending our time on the most important things. I remember years ago, on your report card, there was a thing that uses time wisely. Y'all remember that? It was a grade. I guarantee you they don't grade that nowadays. You got something jammed in your ear and watching something on a screen, right? But using time wisely. And I can remember I was a little boy in school. Man, I love to read. I just love to read. And I was always reading something. And I'd have me a stack of books in the library, or at that time in the classroom, they had series of books, and I was always reading, and the teachers loved that thing. They thought I was... I just like to read. I wasn't trying to be smart. I wasn't trying to get a good grade. I just like to read. And so they used to give me a good grade on that, let me get by with things I probably shouldn't have, just because I like to read. It was a blessing. Using our time wisely, because we only have so much. I saw a study one time, and this was like some people took some men and took some women and did like an honest to goodness for real study. So they watched them for a day, and they gave them 10 tasks to do. Each one of them, the men and the women. And the women jumped in there, and they jumped on all 10 of them. Women are multitaskers. Men, we just pretty much ain't. And the men, and this was legit, this was a study. The men only worked on like 3 or 4 things. They didn't even attempt the rest of them, right? And all the ladies saying, amen, that's right, I give him one thing to do, and that's all he could do. But at the end of the study, the women had worked on all the things, but they hadn't got much done on any of them. And the men only worked on 3 or 4 things, and those other things they hadn't even touched. But those 3 or 4, they had really taken care of those things a little bit better. And the conclusion was that men just prioritized. They could cut those other things out of their mind, and them women, they just can't do it, right? We got to get it all done today. We have to prioritize our time. Sunday school lesson last week. Martha and Mary. Y'all remember that? Two ladies. And one of them was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And the other one was serving. And Jesus told Martha, and he said, thou art troubled and careful and cumbered about much serving. He said, you just got a lot going on, but the most needful thing, the one needful thing, he said, you just let it slip. Now, she was getting, man, she was getting some stuff done. She had the burners on high. She was cooking all the food and all the courses in the meal and homemade biscuits, amen. I mean, she was getting it done. But her priorities were out of order. And Jesus wasn't mean to her. Jesus wasn't hard to her, but he did tell her. He said, you're spending your time, you're cumbered, you're troubled, you're careful about things that aren't the needful thing. We need to prioritize things in our life. Now, some people don't prioritize because they really don't understand what's important. Young parents sometimes, they don't prioritize. Matthew, this is my boy, he was 15 years old when Sarah Catherine was born. And so it's like Don and I, you 15 years old, done raised a child for 15 years, and you got 15 years under the bridge, you're not the same person. And we were not, right? So we got a second chance, and we started completely over with Sarah Catherine. And you know what? We realized some things, right? These things that we spent a lot of time and effort on, that thing turned out to just not be that important. And this situation right here where we kind of let that slide and slip a little bit, you know what? That was more important. So with our second child, 15 years apart, our priorities were a little bit different. Now that's just wisdom through making a mess a lot of times what that is. Some people don't prioritize because they don't know what's important. Some people prioritize, but they have their priorities completely out of order. Well, I know some people, and they hunt everything you can shoot and try to catch everything you can catch and try to run every kind of dog there is and have every kind of thing you can ride. And I'm like, man, that's exhausting to try to do everything. But the things that are important, sometimes those folks like that, they let slip. The things that are really, really important. They have priorities. They're just out of order. So we have to prioritize, and we need them to be in order. I looked this up. There was a guy back in the 1600s, 1700s. It was actually a whole family, the Stradivarius family. They made fiddles. He'd probably chop your head off if you called his violin a fiddle. He made violins and violas. That's some kind of stringed instrument also. And the whole family made them. But this one guy, he was like the guy. Antonio Stradivarius, I believe was his name. And Even today, these violins, they say, are the best that's ever been made. And the scientists have tested them and done things to them. They say they're no different than other high-quality violins. But you ask somebody, the best violin players in the world that make a living doing it, and they'll tell you that's the most one it is. These folks, you know what they did? They made fiddles. Oh, they didn't make fiddles and tables. They didn't make fiddles and chairs. They didn't make fiddles and dresser drawers. They made violins is what they done. That was their priority. That's what they put their time, their effort, their energy into. And they made the best that there's ever been. What are you saying? I'm saying we need to prioritize things in our life. And the precious time that we have, we need to make sure the things with the higher priority get the most time. If we don't, things are going to be out of order. Now, I'm not saying all you can do is one thing, because we all have to do multiple things. But what I'm saying is we should all have priorities. Now, you can add to your list whatever you want to. This is America, and it's still a free country. And we might can't do what we could at one time, but we still got it better than everybody else in this old world. Turn to James chapter 4. We're going to come back here to Mark chapter 1, but turn to James chapter 4. Let's look at a couple of verses. James chapter number 4. Hebrews in the book of James chapter number 4. Look at verse 13. James 4 and 13, talking about time and prioritizing our time and the preciousness of time. And we better get some priorities in our life. And we're going to look at the priorities of Christ, the things he had lined up in his life. Look at verse 13, James 4 and 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? That's a question. See that question mark? For what is your life? He's going to tell you what your life is. He said, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You know what your life is? Your 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 100 years. You know what it is? It's like a vapor. It's going to be gone before you know it. Now that list you have of your priorities, this is America. You can add whatever you want to it. There are some things we have, right? If you have a wife, if you have a husband, that's a blessing from the Lord. That's a priority. Children, you can add children to your priority list. When you have children, they should be a priority, right? The ministry, you can get up to the ministry to where it'll drown you dead. You can get just as deep into it as you want to. And the ministry is from God, but it can destroy you if you get in over what God wants you to. Your job. Some people are addicted to work. I don't understand that. I don't understand that, but I know people, they would rather work than they had eat when they are hungry. They just love it. It's something inside them. They are addicted to it. Hobbies, entertainments, pleasures. Some people spend all of their life finding some way to pleasure themselves. Now, you can add whatever you want to your list, but you listen to what I'm telling you. You will not add 1 minute to your day. You can add 500 things to your priority list, but you will never, under any circumstance, add 1 minute to your day. Well, what about when the dial went back 10 degrees? What about when the sun stood still? The problem is we're not pursuing the enemies. We're pursuing pleasure and entertainment is what we're doing, right? So we can add whatever we want to our list, but our amount of time that we have to give to it is fixed. When you make time for something, you have to take time from something else. That's how it works. It's precious. And that's why we must be careful about having our priorities in order. We need to make time for God. He's a priority. Reading, praying, spending time alone with God. I said last week, time spent alone with Christ is never wasted. But we have all these things that we can add to our list. But the time's limited. So we need to be sure to get our priorities right. To know what's important, where we can spend our time in a way that's pleasing to God, in a way that's going to be productive for God. So turn back to Mark chapter 1. Let's look at this passage of Scripture. And we're going to see how Jesus, or priorities in the life of Jesus. Look here in Mark chapter 1, verse number 32. You know, we can give you, as preachers, as teachers, give you principles out of the Bible. But we just, it's not our responsibility, it's not our right to dictate everything in your life. Brother Michael Crockett, he's our pastor. He's not your daddy. He's not your husband. He's your pastor. He's the spiritual leader of this church, and he gives us things, principles in this Bible so we can lead and guide and make these decisions for ourselves. So we're going to look at Jesus Christ, these things in his life, some principles to learn, and that's going to help us through these principles take the individual things that are different to every person and prioritize them in our life. So look at verse 32, Mark 1 and 32. The Bible says, and that even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. You know what was a priority in the life of Jesus Christ? People. People were a priority in the life of Jesus Christ. You know what needs to be a priority in our life? People. He healed these sick people. It was even, he had been out, he'd been doing what he does all day. Man, it was quitting time. Who likes quitting time? Quitting time never sneaks up on me. Start time might sneak up on me. Quitting time never sneaks up on me. I've always got my eye on quitting time. It was evening time. It was quitting time. And yet here I come, all these people to Jesus Christ. Wanting something from him. You know what he did? He healed these folks. He cast out these devils. Jesus loved people. All people. The good people and the bad people. He tried to help people. Even those Pharisees and those Sadducees and those lawyers, when he was telling them all those things and scalding their hides, you know what? If they had taken heed to that, it would have helped their life. Jesus Christ loved people. He loved all people. He came to this world for people. Not for the rocks and the trees and the oceans. He's going to fix all that too, right? But he died for the souls of men. He came for people. He came to save souls first and foremost, but also to change lives. You remember when you got saved and things begin to change in your life? When you didn't think like you used to anymore? When you didn't believe like you used to? When you got saved, you know what happened? Some priorities changed in your life, didn't it? All of a sudden, some of those things that you just loved so much, they all of a sudden didn't matter as much anymore. I can tell you, before I got saved, church was not a priority in my life. Reading this book was not a priority in my life, and chances are it wasn't in yours either. But when we get saved, he saved our soul, but not only that, he changed our life. Why? Because he loves people. We should make people a priority in our life. You have family. You have friends. You have co-workers. You have church folks. There are lost folks. Missionaries. We should make people a priority in our life. But listen, don't get your people priorities mixed up. Thank God for all the people that we can help and minister to. But you know what? Jesus had an inner circle and God gave you an inner circle. You got children to raise. You know what? They are your responsibility to raise and train up, not the pastor. Not grandma, they're yours. Now, sometimes it works out like that, but that's not the way God intended. Let's don't get our people priorities out of order. If you put your children before your spouse, that's out of order. God didn't intend it that way. God help if you put your grandchildren before your spouse or something. God didn't intend it that way. People should be a priority in our life, but those people priorities need to be in order. We have co-workers. There are lost people we bump into. We need to make that a priority in our life to get them the gospel. Well, that's what the missionaries, that's why we pray for the missionaries. There's always something to do, and people should be a priority in our life. Everyone, without exception, everyone that you come into contact with needs some kind of help. Some people, it's obvious. You can look and see this cat right here. He's struggling. This lady right here, she's struggling. Some things we can see, some things you can't see. But I don't care who it is, every person we come in contact with needs some kind of help. And Jesus Christ, no matter where he went, people was on him and people were pulling at him and people were wanting something. Can you imagine everywhere you go, somebody wanting something from you? Man, I pull up my old beat down car, my work clothes. Ain't nobody pestering me. Oh, they walking right by me asking for a quarter. That dude ain't got no quarter. But everywhere he went, he had someone pulling at him. Want something. But you know what he did? He loved people. And he made time for people. Not only that, look here in verse number 35 with me. The Bible says, so he healed the people, he cast out the devils. Look at verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day. I probably just lost somebody right there. Some people are much interested in rising up a great while before day. That's what it says. In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. You know what a priority in Jesus' life was? Prayer. People were a priority in Jesus' life, and they should be a priority in our life. And prayer was a priority in the life of Christ, and it should be a priority in our life. The Bible says he rose up a great while before day. You know what he did? He took some of that sleep time that's required, and he sacrificed some of that for prayer because prayer was a priority in his life. I read something one time, and the statement was something like this. It's a weak love for Christ that cannot break the chains of sleep. In other words, if you're too sorry to get up to pray, do you really love Christ like you say you do? We were outside yesterday and they were picking at Brittany about the early morning services at camp. We'll get up at 6 o'clock, have early morning service. She said, we don't do that. Everybody's like, sure we do. You just don't ever come. You just don't get up. And she's like, I'm going to ask so-and-so. And I said, don't ask Miss Dawn, because Miss Dawn, she don't do the mornings. Miss Dawn does morning best about 10:30. That's when she does morning best. She gets up, but boy, she don't like it. Some people are not morning people. But you know what? There's times when you need to sacrifice some of that and make prayer a priority in our life. That's what Jesus did. When Jesus was tired, when he was overwhelmed, when he had a big decision to make, you know what he did? He found time to pray. When these things came into his life, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, made prayer a priority. Everywhere he went, he had people pulling at him. You know what he did? He prayed often. We read many times through the Bible about Jesus Christ getting along and praying and praying. You know what prayer brings? Prayer brings strength. You need strength for the journey? Pray. You have family troubles? You know what? We all have family troubles. Well, sometimes we have family troubles, don't we? And sometimes we have family troubles, don't we? You have pray. That's where your strength comes from. You have job problems. You have marriage problems. Pray. It gives you strength. And it'll do. It'll give you peace. When you get overwhelmed in this old world and you get your eyes on this world and things don't look good and you don't see how the ends are going to meet and you don't see how it's going to happen and no way in your mind you can make it happen. You know what you do? You pray to God and you know what you'll see? You'll see that He's still big. And no matter what your problems are, no matter how bad they look compared to God, oh, it just don't seem quite as big. You know what you can get in prayer? You can get strength. You can get peace. You know what else you can get in prayer? You can get clarity of mind. Anybody have any trouble making decisions? I don't. I very rarely make the right decision, but buddy, I can make one. I will make one at the drop of a hat, whether it's right or wrong, and we'll iron that thing out later. Some people will agonize over what they're going to have for supper to the point where you don't even get no supper. Just put it on the table. You can get clarity of mind about big decisions. Turn to Luke chapter 6 with me. Let's look at this. The gospel according to Luke. I don't know if y'all can tell or not, but I got a gospel reading schedule I'm following some this year. And these gospels eat my lunch, man. I just love them. Everything I'm getting is out of the gospels. Luke chapter number 6. Look at verse number 12. So here are these people that are filled with madness. They're trying to kill Jesus Christ in verse number 11. Look at verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he, Jesus Christ, Luke 6 and 12, went out unto a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. He did what? All night? Are you crazy? He'll try to pray an hour. I'm sure most of us have. Don't you just want to look at the clock every 5 minutes? He continued all night in prayer. Why? Why? Look at verse 13. And when it was day, he called to him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. You know why he prayed? These people were answering him, pulling at him, but he had a big decision to make, didn't he? He was going to take all those hundreds, possibly thousands of disciples, he was going to pick 12 of them to be his apostles. Those same apostles that it says the foundations of that new Jerusalem is based on those 12 of them. Same ones. He had a big decision to make, and you know what he did? He got alone and he prayed because he needed clarity of mind. He rose up early. You can pray anytime, and you should. We should be people of prayer. But to start your day with anything but prayer to God is to set your day up for failure. I don't care what it is. I don't care how good it is. I don't care how much good there is in it. To start your day with anything but prayer to God is to set yourself up to fail. People should be a priority in our life like it was Christ. Prayer should be a priority in our life like it was Christ. Turn back to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter number 1. So we see that people was a priority. Prayer was a priority. Look at verse number 38. Mark 1 and 38. So his guys came to him and said, look, people seeking for you, they want you. Look at verse 38. He said unto them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and he cast out devils. You know what was a priority in Jesus' life? Preaching. You know what needs to be a priority in your life? Preaching. You know how much preaching you need? All you can get. Well, preacher, I don't need that much. That's a sure enough, I'm half Jew, that's a sign that you need more preaching. If you think you don't need more preaching, chances are you need more preaching. We've been able to go a lot of places this year, heard a lot of good preachers. I think we got the best pastor preacher there is. But you know what? There's a lot of good ones out there. We've heard Tim Ellis preach this year. We heard Ron Ralph preach. We've heard Jim Chandler preach. We've heard Jerry Arnold preach. Mark Wesley. So who are these men? Some of the best preachers probably that you've never heard of. And we've had the opportunity to hear them this year. You know what you could do? You could take you a preaching vacation. What? What is that? Take you a week off and go to one of these camp meetings and you listen to these good preachers preach morning and evening. You know what it'll do? It'll change your life. You know what it'll do? It'll help you in ways that you could never imagine. But what about the beach? There ain't nothing. Go there too. What about the mountains? Go there too. What about Yellowstone? Go there too. But you take your family on a preaching vacation, and these people, these places, they'll take such great care of you in that preaching. It's a different atmosphere. It's a different environment. And that preaching will change your life. Look at verse 38 here. The Bible says, and he said unto them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. You know what Jesus' number one priority was? He loved people. That was a priority. And he loved prayer. That was a priority. But Jesus' number one priority was preaching, telling people who he was. Telling people what God said about him. Well, why did he even heal then? If that was his number one priority to preaching, hold your place here. We're going to come back and turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter number 8. The gospel according to Matthew chapter 8. Well, if he just came to preach, if that was his number one priority, then why did he heal? One reason, because he just loved people, right? I'm sure he hated to see sick, hurting people. But there's another reason. There's a greater reason, I think. Look at Mark chapter number 8. Verse number 16. Everybody got it? When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be what? Fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. You know why Jesus healed? To fulfill the scriptures. It says that in the Gospels many, many times that his healing and the miracles he did, they fulfilled the Old Testament scriptures. That's the main reason why he came to heal, to prove to the world exactly who he was according to this King James Bible. But he came forth to preach. That was his number one priority, was preaching. You can go through and read the scriptures. And I did a good bit. I didn't do it exhaustively. But there are many times when Jesus preaches without healing. Anyone that's recorded. But there are very, very, I'm talking about one, two, three, very few times where Jesus heals without preaching. What are you saying? What I'm saying is he has concern for people, and yes, he could heal, and yes, he did heal, but what he came forth for was to preach. It was the number one priority in his life. John chapter 9, the man born blind, he healed him. No, he did. He just rolled off on him. And they were questioning him, quizzing him, and what happened? But Jesus came to him later and told him exactly who he was. He preached to the man. A man that had the infirmity for over 38 years, same situation. He healed him. And he came back to him later and preached to him and told him exactly who he was. We see the preaching and the healing many times we see the preaching without the healing, but very few times you see the healing without the preaching, because the healing was not the priority. The preaching of the book was the priority. The centurion servant. Turn to Matthew chapter 8 again. Let's look at this one. Matthew chapter number 8. Turn back there with me. You may even be there. I'm the only one to turn. Look at Matthew chapter 8. Look at verse number 5. Matthew 8 and 5. So here's the centurion. He's got a sick servant. And he wants Jesus to heal him. And he tells Jesus, I'm a man under authority, having soldiers. And what he's pretty much telling Jesus, I have faith that if you say it's going to happen, I have faith it's going to happen because I believe that you are who you say you are. Look at verse 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followeth, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And look at verse 11. This is where he gets kind of preachy. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So here's this centurion. He wants his servant healed and he's got faith and Jesus is going to heal him. But before he tells him it's going to happen, right in the middle of that thing, he busts out with a good sermon. Why? Because preaching was his number one priority. Say, well, brother, what should my priorities be? Jesus is our example, right? But individual situations are just that. They're individuals. Oh, I don't know about your marriage. I don't know about your children. I don't know about your work. I don't know those things about you. But I can tell you how we can prioritize. No matter what the circumstances are and the situations are, I can tell you how we can prioritize according to the Bible. Turn to Matthew 23. And I'll show you how we prioritize. Matthew chapter 23. Look in verse number 23. So here's these scribes and Pharisees, and Jesus is just scalding their hide. You know, Jesus, he pretty much wasn't hard on anybody but them religious, pharisaical, God-hating, people-hating church folk. That's about the only people he was hard on. Look at verse 23. He said, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. I remember my little girl, she was a little girl, we'd read the Bible. She loved the word hypocrite. She'd laugh. She was better hypocrite. Look what he says. He said, For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Look what he said. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. You know what he told him? He said, You got the tithing thing down pat. That's easier. The problem was they were stealing widows' houses and tithing off of it. That's the problem. Right? They had the weightier matters is what he said. You know, the Bible says God loves a just balance and hates an unjust balance. You know what the balance is? You put two things on each side and the heavy one's going, it's going to tear it. God said he hated an unjust balance. Someone take a 1 pound weight and shave some off of it where it says it's a pound, but it's not. They're cheating people, right? The Bible says God hates that. The weightier matters. You know what? If you're guilty of one point of the law, you're guilty of all of it. We know that, right? And all sin is wickedness, right? You cheat on your taxes, you need to quit that junk, you need to pay your taxes. It's a bad testimony, you're going to get in trouble, right? That's a bad thing.
you run off with somebody else's wife. You know what you've done? You busted up two marriages, and you busted up two homes, and you busted up a bunch of children. You know what it is? Those things are wrong, but some things, according to what the Bible says, they're weighty, right? So whatever this Bible says are the weighty matters, that's our priorities, our higher priorities. And Jesus said, do those. And he said, don't leave the others undone, right? You got three babies hanging off of you, like you a mama possum, they baby possums. You might can't spend 9 hours a day passing out tracts. But you go to Walmart to buy groceries for all that tribe you got, you can hand that lady that cash register a tract, can't you? You know what you're doing? We're prioritizing, right? Different stages of our life, we have different priorities, right? You might can't get out and beat the streets 19 miles, knock on doors like you used to could. But you know what you can do? Man, you can pray, right? You know what we're doing? Prioritizing according to what the book says. Not according to what Dr. Phil said. Not according to what that devil Oprah said. Not according to what that bunch of devils on the view said. They devils, they devils, they devils is what they are. And they hate God. We prioritize things in our life according to what this book says, by what God says are the weighty matters. And we don't leave the others undone. Your family structure. It's got to be right. You got to have your priorities right. Some things in my life, I just got good. I don't have trouble with family time. I don't want to be nowhere else but home. It's hot, and I've been sweating all day, and I ain't going out to chase those stinking fish to sweat some more. No chase the golf ball. I just ain't nothing wrong with it. Help yourself. I just ain't going to do it. Right? We need to prioritize. God will let us enjoy so many things. He just does because He's good to us. We all have things we enjoy. But let's don't get our life out of balance. You got your work-life balance, right? I learned a lot about that when we moved to Montana. I got a job at a place called Montana Instruments. The guy that started the company, it wasn't about 50 people at the company, but it was a startup. It was growing. And he had this big thing. He was a saved man. He had a wife. He had children. He had a big thing about work-life balance. You popped up 3 or 4 weeks with some overtime, somebody's going to come to your desk and sit down with you and find out what's going on. Can we help you? Do you need some more stuff? We were starting a project launch one time. So in the machine shop, I took it upon myself as a manager to handle that project launch. So I was putting more hours in, and my boss came to me and she sat down. She said, you all right? She said, we've been seeing you having some overtime. Just want to make sure you're not overloaded. Can we take some of what you're doing and give it to somebody else? I said, no, we're good. I said, another couple of weeks, we're going to be on up and up. You know why? You got your work-life balance. Don't get that thing out of whack. Priorities, spiritual things versus things that are pleasurable, things that pleasure ourselves, pleasure our faith. You know how you can fix that? Make spiritual things your pleasure. Ha-ha! Ha-ha! Preaching vacation. I'm going to get a copyright on that. What are you saying, brother? What I'm saying is if we prioritize things in our life, we're going to use our time wisely for the Lord. We're going to stand before Him one day. He's going to say, man, I remember that. He said, son, I remember that time when you had things out of whack, but you turned that thing around, you took that book and you prioritized your life according to what I said in that book, and you got some things done. What God views as most important biblically in your life should be your priorities. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. That can involve preaching. That can involve praying. That can involve raising your family for God. That can involve so many things in the name of Christ. Priorities. Stand to your feet if you would. I'm not going to have an altar call tonight, but if you need to, go home, pray, talk to the Lord. He'll listen. Amen.